Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm glad to be back. If you're wondering, I'm back from what? Like, come on, pay attention. Like you were gone somewhere. It's been so great the last couple weeks. You weren't here. So I just want to take a few minutes before we begin and just talk about what's been going on in the other churches and just thank you guys for participating. I've heard great things over the last 2 weeks with Pastor Chris and Pastor Lucas, and we do have one more week. So next week on the 24th, just so you didn't hear, we're not going to be here on the 31st. The 24th next week, we will be here. Pastor George from The Point will be here for our last one where we're actually rotating. Then the 31st, we're going to be at the community college. And I just encourage you guys, there are hundreds of these cards. There's some that are on your seat on our guest services table on your way out. Grab some. This is an interesting way to invite people into a church gathering that may be like a little, you know, not interested in local church because, you know, they've been hurt by church. But I think there's something when we gather together as a group of churches and say, hey, we're one on this day, that it's an interesting way just to kind of bring up church that, you know, they may not be interested in another church, but you can tell them this is a one-time deal that, you know, God may show up and radically change your life in that venue. So I encourage you to invite neighbors, not that you wouldn't invite them normally here, but it's a good way just to start a conversation and invite somebody to church. And I want to get started this morning actually talking about something that you should have heard to begin with. We're out of order because I'm preaching the same thing at every church during these 4 weeks. And you really have to understand what I'm talking about today, not what I'm talking about, but what God's talking about belonging. That's my topic today in this Better Together, that really the baseline for everything that you've already heard about over the last 2 weeks and what you're going to hear next week and the week following that, we have to have the mindset of understanding that we belong. And so this morning, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture of what it looks like to belong to Christ. But I just want to talk about, before we get started with the scripture, just talking about this idea that we all understand what belonging means. And this idea that we all desire to belong. I mean, really, and maybe not so much in it as right now, but like what we wear, what we drive, and where we live, there's all of this sense that we want to belong to someone or some group. And I remember as early as preschool, there was a table that was more special than all the other ones because it was a little bit taller than the other tables that were there. And there was a fight for this one table. And like if you got in that table, like you belonged, like you were cool. And I think that carries into the rest of our life. I mean, through elementary school and middle school, I mean, can you imagine the fear of not belonging that happens in this building? I mean, can you imagine? We're in the cafeteria. I mean, can you imagine in a couple of weeks from now, there's going to be kids that transferred in that are going to walk into this what seemingly innocent room, and there's so many things that happen and go on here, or what table you're going to be welcomed at, or what table you can sit at, and who's going to be isolated, or what's going to happen. It's in our core that we want to belong. And see, the danger with belonging, if it's not put on the correct source, is that we'll strive to belong to anything. This is why gangs do so well, because they get the people that are in a fringe that they've not belonged, but finally they belong to something. We're aching for that, and we'll belong to the wrong thing just so we can belong. And see, the hope of the world is the local church as it relates to bringing people that realistically shouldn't be in the same room loving one another. I mean, there's so many differences between us and the person sitting next to you and across the aisle that not necessarily would we all be in the same room, but God does this miraculous thing when he gathers the people together, is that he makes them family. I mean, literally makes us brothers and sisters, where we wouldn't have any relation to each other outside of here, like we're not family necessarily. God brings the impossible and brings people together and brings unity into the people of God through not only His church, but outside of His church. And this is what I want to just jump into today. And the first half of what I want to talk about today is our idea of really getting the foundation that we belong and what that means. And it's something that you have heard over and over and over again from me. I know just for my own being that we have to remind ourselves who we belong to. Because if we don't, we'll make our connection to anything so that we belong and we feel accepted to it. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to jump into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You that in spite of our own sin, Lord, You make things right with us. And Lord, You don't make us right just so that we can be right with You. You make us right so that we could be a part of something bigger. And so, Lord, this morning as we look at Your Word, as we look at what You desire and design for us as it relates to Your kingdom, Lord, I just pray that we would just be even more connected to You, the Father, through the Son, so that in that connection, Lord, we would be inspired to branch out and draw people to You. And so, Lord, we just thank You that You pursue us, Lord, that You do walk through our walls, that You free us from our shame so that we can be made right with You. So, Lord, I pray that You would just encourage us, that You would stir us this morning so that our affection for You would grow and our affection for Your other children would grow. And so, Lord, we just lift up Your Word that it would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I have four different verses that I want to talk about this idea. The first one is John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It's going to be in the screen. If you don't have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, you can go there on your own. But in verse 12, it says, But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here's the beauty of this here. It's like even in this, he X's out things that we would think would make us connected to the Father, our good behavior, our now clean lives. But he literally says that we're born of something that's not blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but God. Like, the reason why we get to belong is because God, in His mercy, provided a way that we could belong that was outside of our own doing. It wasn't in our, you know, one day you're here at church and you hear about the grace of God and then that day you decide to be better and then God decides to love you. It's like literally the grace of God gets open to you. You see that, you receive it, and that moment, because of God's work through Jesus on the cross, you become a child. And like, I think sometimes we think, oh, son or, like, I'm a son or daughter of God, and we lose the power of what that means. And I have all three of my beautiful children are sitting in this room. For the last week, I did two services, and I pointed to empty chairs because they were here serving in our kids' ministry. And so, like, the whole time I felt like something was wrong with me. I was like, my children, they're not here. And then I had to tell them, well, you know, that's where they would be sitting because that's where I was. Okay, anyway, it was just confusing. But I just want to bring this into understanding here is that, you know, my children have access to me that you guys don't. I mean, I love you guys. I would do a world for you, but you do not have the availability that they have to me. Like, if they have needs to be met, it is my responsibility to meet those needs, to make sure, you know, that they get the school supplies, that they get shoes, that they have clothes to wear, that they have food on the table. It is my responsibility as their father to provide. Now, you guys, I mean, I would do what, you know, if you came to me and you had a legitimate need, I would do everything in my power to make that happen. But it's not my responsibility. You know, if we flip that around, you know, when we become children of God, He becomes the responsible Father to us. Like, He becomes the one that we naturally go, like, if they have a need and they don't have big bank accounts, they're going to come to me and like, Dad, I need, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I get, as a wise father, get to say, well, you don't really need that. That's a want. And we get to have a learning moment. But they, which they don't do a whole lot, but they get to come to me. Like, it's natural for them to come to me. And see, when we flip that around, I think sometimes as we become adults is that we understand that God's our Father and that, yes, He provides for us, but our natural inclination is to, you know, well, He's real busy and I don't want to bother Him, so I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to work out on my own to make myself, you know, into the things that I need, instead of willingly going to the Father and going, God, hey, you know, this is your child. Like, there's a power when you pray like that. Like, when you walk into the room of addressing the Father and you understand that you're a child of God, it's not like you're begging on the ground for something. Which we're going to talk about here in a second. You're no longer a slave. You know, you've been brought into the family, and this is the baseline for everything else. When we talk about in this series about serving and growing together and doing these great things together, if our baseline isn't that we belong to the Father, we miss and do everything incorrectly. Because the danger is we live in the South in, you know, the Bible Belt, and it's dangerous because you learn culture, not necessarily Jesus. You learn culture, like how to behave and how to do things, and we miss some of the things that God's trying to do in us because we learn to pretend to be good, God-fearing people instead of literally, honestly, just being a child of God. Like, and that's the danger, is that we would fake belonging instead of just belonging. Because when we're in that place where we're faking like the smile and, you know, everything's messed up outside of here, but you pull in the parking lot and it's like, you do the rundown, like, we're going to smile, we're going to hold hands, everything is good. And you walk in and, you know, you praise the Lord and you leave. And then you get out of LMS and it's like, rah! You know, that we miss what God's really trying to do. And everything that when we try to serve and we try to grow and we try to free ourselves from things that we couldn't have, when we try to do it ourselves, we miss what God's trying to do. Instead of belonging, in our belonging, we naturally serve. And in our belonging, we naturally grow. And in our belonging, we naturally reach out to our world. And that's what I want to talk about through these scriptures. And I want to just build one on top of the other. The next one is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And he's going to emphasize this. It's not our work. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. See, part of the dilemma of us being good Christian people at times is that we forget that it was by faith that we've been saved. And so we get cleaned up, and we learn a little of the lingo, and we look outside and go, that world's just falling apart. Those people are just horrible. And we forget that we are those people saved by grace. And, you know, this helps us understand not only our belonging, but our ability to look at every single person that we come in contact with and realize that the only thing they need isn't a mile-long list of changing. You know, they need to stop this, they need to do this, they need to listen to that, they need to stop listening to this, but literally, the only thing they need is Jesus. And that Jesus changes everything else. And when we understand that it's through faith, that it's not our own doing, then every hard case, every person that cuts in front of you on the way to Wilmington or back from Wilmington, we have a bridge issue here, it's really bad. You know, that all they need is the grace of God. All they need is Jesus, honestly. Like, when you run into someone that you just think, oh my gosh, there is no way. There is a way, and His name is Jesus. Galatians 4, chapter 4 through 7. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, I love this. We're going to come back to 6 and 7. And I think sometimes when we look at the Bible as a whole, we get kind of lost in the Old Testament, and we forget that because of Genesis 3:15, we know that God had a plan, and in that plan, he was sending Jesus at the appointed time. I love the beginning. When the fullness of time had come, when it was the perfect moment for Jesus to enter the world, he did so. Like, I love understanding that God's plan for us is perfect. I was listening to another preacher preach a thing, and he quoted another preacher. That's what preachers do. And there's this guy, his name is Timothy Keller, and they were talking about prayer and, you know, like God answering prayers. And, you know, sometimes it's really hard because we feel like God's not paying attention to us. And Timothy Keller had this statement. It said that if you had all the details and information that God had, that you would answer the prayer just like he's answering the prayer now. Like, and I think there's a power when we understand, like, the fullness of time. I'm sure leading up to Jesus, like, for thousands of years, they're like, the time is ready. And, like, we live in the, you know, after Jesus period where people are now looking for the return of Jesus, and they're throwing out dates, which the Bible says that doesn't really work out really well, so everybody that puts a date on it, just laugh at them. But, you know, we start planning for this return and understand why isn't it here? Because God is working his perfect plan. He is doing the same thing in us. Like, my children don't always understand my no's. And sometimes it does feel like I say no all the time, which I'm told that I say no all the time, which I don't. But they don't always understand my no's, but my no's hopefully are always for their benefit in the long run. And sometimes God literally is doing things in us that we don't understand, but that's the trusting and belonging part of our relationship with God the Father. Is that if we're the adopted child, if we're the son or daughter, that literally it's okay to sit here and wait. It's okay that we haven't gotten what we feel like we need, because we understand that God in his goodness is doing exactly what is necessary for us to walk in the plan that he has laid before us. Continuing on in verse 6, it says, and because you are sons, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts. Another verse actually says that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. It's like a deposit that God makes in us that validates that we are a son or daughter of Jesus. It says, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son, and in a son, then an heir through God. Romans 8 actually calls us an heir like Jesus. Like, he puts us in the realm of inheritance side by side with Jesus, his son. Like, this is huge. This is, so big. And I think we miss so much stuff because we forget our belonging. We forget whose we are. Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22. It says, so then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, meaning everything that we base our belief in is founded on Jesus being the first part of that foundation. Everything else hinges on Jesus. And in verse 22 it says, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Held. I mean, there's another one that Jesus literally is referred to, like, he's holding all of this together. Like, literally, our body is made up of molecules and atoms and things that I don't really understand, little parts, let's just say. And that literally the Word of God says that He's holding all that together. The reason why you're in the shape that you're in right now and not just like dissolving into the little parts is because Jesus is holding that together. The reason why this chair is, the molecules are being held into that chair is because Jesus right now is holding all of these things together and building up His body of Christ. And so I want to switch gears. As we transition into this next part, that if we belong, then what? I just want to, before we jump into that, I just want to settle something. And this you can kind of mull over as we get to the end, and we'll work on this again at the end as we close, is that if this isn't you, like if you're struggling with belonging, if you're struggling right now, like, yeah, I believe it. Like, I hear you saying son or daughter. I hear you talking about inheritance. I hear you talking about that we're connected and, you know, it is by grace. But, like, I don't feel that I belong. Like, if that's churning inside of you, the only thing that's going to change that is trust and belief. Not behavior. Because I think sometimes we link our belonging to our behavior. Like, we belong. Like, my children can just act crazy, and they're still going to belong to me. Their world might change a little bit, but they're going to belong to me regardless of how they behave. Do you see what I'm saying? Children, like, I think if we tie our behavior to our belonging, we're going to struggle this as we don't behave, or as we do dumb stuff, our belonging's going to change in our feeling versus our belonging is solidified for those who believe in Jesus. That is it. And so, like, as we go into this next part, because I'm going to kind of jump out of belonging and into what that belonging should do as it relates to us sitting in this room and as it relates to all these other churches that are building and advancing the kingdom together. And so you can't really go into this next part with that uncertain. So you can sit there, you can hold that there, and at the end of our service today, we're going to work on this idea of submitting our will to God's will and trusting that we belong and are called children of God. So let's dream just a little bit. What would it mean, and our country needs this. What would it mean for us as a people if we radically believe that we belong and are loved and are a part of the kingdom of God and are called sons and daughters and have a destiny and and God has a plan for us? Like, what would it mean if we understood belonging and we let that belonging trickle into our belonging to each other? What would our world look like? If we stop looking at the color of our skin and stop looking at where you live and what you don't have and what you do have, but literally aligned ourselves to Jesus and understand that if we are under Jesus, we are the same. Like, there is no distinction. Like, what would our church look like if every single person that walked in the door, regardless of what they're wearing, regardless of what they look like, and regardless if they, you know, their hair isn't just perfect, but like, we just loved them. What if everywhere we went, our leading line was we love people? I mean, it's easy to say that. It's difficult to live that because people are difficult. Now, churches would be perfect if it wasn't for all the people. I mean, just to be honest. I mean, like, you get in the room and there's agendas and there's unhealthy behavior. There's all kinds of things that are wanting to disrupt that. But what if we lead our life with starting with us? And we understand belonging. So every time we walked in the food line, every time we walked into Walmart, and every time we walked into Ace Hardware or wherever you walk into, the only difference between you and every single person that you encounter is what Jesus has done and is doing in you. And Jesus can do what He has done in you to every single person that you come in contact with. I mean, what would that change in our neighborhoods if we literally looked out for the best interest of others. Like our neighbors weren't just like these annoying people that didn't mow their grass when you mowed their grass, so it made you look bad, or they didn't put the weed killer. My neighbor's got a good yard, so I'm not talking about him. Be like, who is his neighbor? But like literally, what if we looked out for the best interest of everybody that we came in contact with? And the strongest point of that connection and love was in this room. Like when you walked in here, if you're hurting, we're going to hurt with you. If you're sad, we're going to cry with you. If you need something, we're going to assist. Like what if that was this place? Because that's what it's supposed to be. And so here we go. I've got three verses, and then we're going to respond to what I believe God wants to do in and through us today. So the first one is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this is difficult because like we don't necessarily, we read some of these words like a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. You're like, you know, it's hard to believe, but this is what God is speaking to us. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession. And see, this is where, see, that's the belonging part, that God calls you what you are not. I mean, when God decided that He was going to lift up the Jewish people, they were nothing. They weren't like a strong, powerful, like, I want to be sided with them. Like, that's what we do. Like, when we're picking for kickball, we're like, he can kick, he can run. No, like, we're going to leave him for the last pick. Like, God goes to the last pick people and go, yes, we're going to win. I don't know if you have a Super Bowl of kickball. But sure. And so it switches gear from belonging to, it says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So He's like, belonging, you are, you're a possession of mine, so that you can proclaim. See, belonging is just not so that we can feel good about ourselves and feel like we belong. And like when our day is bad, we can go, but I belong. Belonging is so that we can together proclaim with one voice the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It's not so that we can just huddle together and love one another, which we're supposed to do, but literally it is to proclaim. Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I know sometimes, you know, the body illustration gets a little lost in us because no one wants to be like odd parts. We always want to be like, I want to be like something that's useful. Like, who wants to be the belly button? Like, they're thinking like, belly button, like that's me. Or, you know, like, I'd like to be the elbow because, you know, that's awesome. But without the elbow, the arm does not move. And so when we begin to look at this idea that, you know, God has joined us together to be a functioning body. And so here's the beauty, is that there's people in this room that maybe you're new into this building, you're new into this body of Christ, that God has called every single person in for a specific reason. I think some of the danger is that you walk in here and maybe you didn't know Jesus, you get to know Jesus, and you see people that play instrument, you're like, I can't do that. Like, I can't do that, just to be honest. I can barely clap. Watch me. Like if I'm moving on beat or I'm clapping on beat, like it's a good day. Like, and then if I'm gonna sing real loud and do the other things, like one of them's gonna suffer. So if my singing's like on, I wouldn't say on point, like it's on point, but like if it's with the music and you don't hear me like enter other words, like the clapping's gonna suffer. But you don't realize that there's so much going on in this room that has to happen for people to be encouraged. Like literally, if you look at the statistics of people's experiences with churches, in the first 15 to 20 seconds of their walk towards the doors, most of them have already made their mind up of what they think about this church. Like, so you don't realize, and maybe you're like, well, you know, I like people and I can smile and I can shake hands. You don't realize like how important those that are outside greeting make a big deal, because like if they have a bad encounter right there, they're not going to be excited about worship. They're not going to be excited about hearing the word, and they're just going to sit there. But like if they have a good encounter there, they might think there's more. And then you come in and, oh man, someone got here, and you don't realize this because you rarely see the hospitality people unless you're here early. Like, I need coffee. Like, I don't know how many people, like, you know, I ain't going to listen to Jesus unless I got caffeine. But like, and that morning, they're like, someone made me coffee. And you don't realize that, you know, their next encounter as it goes on to into children's check-in and what their kids experience and feeling are. Like, that face that they get greeted by at the check-in, that face that their kids see in that back room is going to make or break their experience for hearing the Word of God. And so, like, we need so many working parts in here. And I think if we look at, like, you know, well, I don't want to preach. Like, I don't want to get up there. Announcements, no. Preaching, no. Music, no. There's so many things that God calls us to be active at that we need as a body to function correctly. And here's the beauty. I don't think a body is ever complete. It's just not. There's always pieces missing. There's always something that we need. And so every new face that walks in here and experiences life change is another piece that God has given us as the body to see us be more effective and it working properly. And it makes the body grow and it builds itself up in love. I mean, that's the importance of everything. Like, and I know this because we're a portable church, and I know summer is when everybody wants us to build. Because summer, we've been able to leave everything up here in like 15 minutes. It's like, like when we're done, which I will say, a little shameless, you can cut this out of my sermon. At the end, we have to move everything in our kids' ministry out of there and over here. So if you want to help with that, that's awesome. Okay, pull back in. But so you know that like, this is a middle school cafeteria, and you know that all of this beautiful pipe and drape that makes this room, yes, and these super comfortable chairs. You're like, come on, wrap it up, buddy, my butt's hurting. You know, but someone has to put these chairs here. Like, there's so much going on that, and you may know, I'm not ready to preach, I'm not ready to do these things, but those parts, like the connection card that you put on that chair that someone new for the first time fills out and makes a connection, you don't realize what every little piece adds to the whole. You're important. John 13, 34 and 35. I think this is the most brutal of statements if we'll read it completely and understand it. And this is Jesus saying, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just, and he, because our experience of what loving people is skewed. Like, we love people. Like, there's people that feel like they're loving people that are on the corner telling them that they're going to hell. Like, the corner preacher that's like, just everybody's going to burn, and how dare you do that. Like, everybody feels, I'm loving people. Like, but Jesus, like, our comparison to what love looks like is right here, that when Jesus says, just as I have loved you. So Jesus is saying, hey, here's a new commandment. I want you to love one another, not just like your kind of love or what your opinion of love is or do what you think is important, but literally that your love is to be compared to my love towards you. So it says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And get this, and this is why I think a lot of people don't have any interest in the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think a lot of people outside of the church sees church people and like, they're just mean. Like, mean. And like the last church person, and here's the problem, like we're you know, in the South, it's like 95% of us are Christian. Anyway, just like that, you know, 95%, or let's just say 85% of the people you come in contact with love Jesus. And he commanded them to love one another. There's a problem, right? It is our responsibility to love one another, and that loving starts here in this room. See, our dilemma is that it's very difficult to love people outside of this room if we allow bitterness and unforgiveness and hurts and pains to stay here in this room. And see, one thing, it's easier when I'm at another place, you know, preaching to other pastors, people, and go, I know there's tension that's going on here. I know there's hurt feelings, that unresolved conflict that's going on in the room, but you guys are awesome, and y'all don't have any unresolved conflict, so I can't say that as much. But the truth is that there's things going on in here that we cannot allow for it to stay. You know, I think this is why churches split and why, you know, we're mocked by everyone else, because we are known for what we hate and not for how we love. And that changes here. Like, it doesn't change the word. I mean, God is still God. This isn't us compromising truth. This is literally Jesus loved people that wouldn't be welcome into the churches of his day. And he didn't love them saying, hey, just stay the way you are. He loved them so that they would change into the likeness of him. But he led with love. And so what I'd like to do right now, I'm going to invite our worship team back up. And I've got two things that I want us, during this last song, just to deal with, just to answer in our soul. And the first one is, do I belong to Jesus? And if you don't belong to Jesus, here is the simple part. Following Jesus isn't necessarily simple. You know, whoever lies to you, like, what, bring all your troubles to Jesus and say yes to Jesus and everything gets easy. Like, that's not true. Like, I'm just going to throw that out. So when you hit struggles in your life, understand that God still loves you. He's still leading you. He's still guiding you into what you need. But here's the base. Is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Me included, all of these wonderful people up here on instruments, even Daniel the Beard. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And that in that we needed a Savior, and Jesus knew that we had fallen short. Knew that we would never hit the mark. He sent his Son when time was perfect, to willingly come and lead the life that you could not perfectly. Never missed a beat, never sinned once, and he allowed himself, even though he had the power that spoke the world into existence, he allowed mortal men to put hands on him, to abuse him, to nail him on the cross, to die willingly for your sin. And just like our first verse that we went back to, John 1, it says, but to all who did receive him, who did believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So for those who believe and did receive from Jesus what he did for you, you belong. And so if you haven't worked that out, it's as easy as going, I have messed my life up. Jesus, I need you. I'm yours. That could be your entrance into belonging, your entrance into the kingdom. And if that happens, it can happen during worship. It can happen as you're sitting, as you're standing, as your hands are raised, or you're on your knees. But I do encourage you that nothing else will fix itself without you solidifying this about belonging. And the second thing that I want us just to sit here, there's a lot of people that love Jesus but struggle with loving people, and Jesus now is saying that by this they will know that you are my disciple, by how you love other people. And if you struggle with that, it's time to submit to Jesus and his lordship and love people. After you've been loved by God, you flow into loving people. And maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you on your own have caused tension and you need to make that right. Maybe with someone in this room, maybe family member outside of here, that you're blocking their view of the cross because of you. What this doesn't mean is going to a person that sinned against you and tell them how horrible they are, that they need to repent and bow down before the Lord and lay prostrate before you. Like, Lee, look, this is all about you. The only way that you begin fixing what's broken is you allow God to humble you and you fix you. And you lay it on the table and allow God to work on the other person, not you. Like, so don't go up there like, well, you know, because here's what some people do. I didn't really do anything wrong, but I'm going to go and repent so that it'll stir something in them so that they'll apologize. Like, that just doesn't work. Like, you get humble and you repent and you allow God, who is God, to change them, not you. Like, we're not the Holy Spirit. We're not God the Son nor God the Father. So we just lay it on the table and we, from a humble place, just love people. And if during worship God brings someone to your attention, don't ignore it. And just ask God, how does He want you to respond to this? How does He want you to respond to loving others? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is humbling to see how little we have to do with our own salvation. It is humbling to see how much You loved us in spite of our unwillingness to change. And Lord, we just acknowledge that the only way that we really do change is by allowing You to change us. And so Lord, I pray for those in this room that may not know You, that just struggle with this idea of belonging. Lord, I pray that You would solidify that. Lord, that You would literally be the cornerstone of that belief. And Lord, I pray that there would be worshiping and celebrations in heaven for those who call on Your name. And Lord, I don't want to guilt or shame people about how they've behaved or what they've acted on or not acted on as it relates to other people, but Lord, You want to restore relationships. And so Lord, as we worship, Lord, I pray that You would show us where we have wronged others. Lord, that You would humble us so that we can go before them and repent of our wrongdoing. And Lord, I pray that that would just stir our world around us. Lord, show us how to belong to Your family. Show us how to exist in it. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would start with us. We pray these things in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.